Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another morning that you've given us to listen to your word. And even as we start, may your presence be with us. So today, we will be looking at the encounter of Jesus, the risen Lord, where he reveals himself to his disciples. And we're in the book of John chapter 21. And this is about a week later. And from the last time that we were able to see that he met his disciples, and Thomas, eventually was able to see the Lord, and he said, "My God," and he was able to refer to him as God because he was able to confirm that the Lord had resurrected. Now we're going to read John chapter 21, and we're going to see Jesus and Peter. Now, maybe we can say that later, but let's read John 21 from verse 1. The Bible says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which is James and John, and two other of his disciples were together. And then Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We are going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter had heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Now, if we just maybe quickly and follow up with from verse 15, the Bible says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" The first one was feed my lambs. This one is tend my lambs, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you guarded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will guard you and carry you where you do not wish.' This he spoke, signifying by what death he will glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now, when we see these disciples of Jesus, and you can see how Peter was a natural leader. And for me, what stands out to him, to me, is that he just said, it's like he was bored. And he said, guys, I'm going fishing. Now, remember, he was originally a fisherman. And in the first encounter, and maybe when you get time, you can read Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 11. You can see the encounter where Jesus first met Peter, or rather Simon, when he was called Simon. And in summary, what happened is that Jesus went, you know, by the Sea of Galilee. He asked for the boat of Peter, of Simon, and then he starts to preach from it. He taught, so Jesus taught the word, and then after he had finished, remember, he was just by the edge of the boat. Then he told them to go and launch into the deep and to go for a catch. So that means they were already in the shallow waters when they were speaking to the people, because the people were pressing. And then Jesus told them, go into the deep. Now, I just want us to compare with now what was happening in the first time when Peter was called, and in this time when Jesus reaffirms the call to Peter. And in that time, they also said, oh, we have toiled all night and caught nothing, but at your word, we shall do it. And the Bible says when they did that, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to break. So here there was a great number of fish and their nets began to break, and also their boats began to sink. And they called their partners. And in this time, Peter, or Simon at this time, told Jesus, depart from me because I am a sinful man. And the conclusion of that was Jesus told them, follow me, from now on you will become fishers of men. And the Bible says that when they brought their boats to the land, they forsook all. But now if you compare with what is happening now, in the first instant there were four people. Remember, it was Simon, and then also the James and John, sons of Zebedee. There were four fishermen. But now in this time there were seven people that are listed. And similarly, they also went fishing the whole night. Remember, fishing is done at night because they use lights to attract the fish, and in a way it's supposed to confuse the fish, and then they were supposed to get. And you see, when now this time they also caught nothing. Why? Because they were not supposed to go back fishing, because they are already made fishers of men. Now, as they are coming back to the shore or from the boat, then Jesus calls out to them and asks them, children, do you have any food? Remember, he's God, so he can address to them as children. Yet he also calls them his brothers. So he calls them, do you have any food? And they say they don't have. Now, this time he does not tell them to launch out into the deep, because they are already in the deep waters. But now he tells them, cast your nets on the right side. Now, on the right side is always symbolic of the right hand of God, the right hand of authority. Remember, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, not necessarily a place of location, but necessarily the place of authority. And also, remember, in the last day when there'll be separation, or between the goats and the lambs, the sheep will be taken to the right side, whereas the goats to the left. Now, last time they caught a large multitude of fish. This time they caught a large number of large fish. The Bible describes that they were large fish. The other time they were just many fish, but this time the fish were large. Last time they were called a multitude of fish, but this time they are numbered in that there were 153 large fish. Now, previously, their nets began to break and the boats began to sink. But this time, their nets did not break and their boat did not sink. And if you try to look at the comparison, you can see, in a way, it's very symbolic. In the first time, they were not ready. In the first time, they were still unschooled. In the first time, they had not yet known the Lord. And when he called them, they were not ready to catch men. Remember, fish represents men. But in this time, they are prepared. They are ready. Christ has already won the battle. He is resurrected. And now they are able to catch large fish. That means they can catch many men. And their nets will not break. Why? Because they are made ready, laborers. The harvest is ready. It's the laborers that are few. And this time you can see Simon does not run away from Jesus. He does not say, oh, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. But this time Simon Peter, he puts on his clothes and he swims to go to the Lord Jesus. He plunges into the sea and he comes to the Lord. You can see that he even left the fish. His focus was not even about the catch that they had gotten. He no longer feels that he is unholy. Remember, because at times we feel like it is like he's being restored. But you can see he already knows that the Lord loves them. The Lord is resurrected. The Lord is their father. And he can go to his father. You know, and he goes to Jesus and immediately he meets Jesus. I remember it is John who recognized that it is the Lord. And when Simon hears that, he jumps into the sea and came to Jesus. He did not run away this time. And Jesus asked them, bring some of the fish. They find that Jesus was already roasting, you know, over some hot coals. He had made some fish and there was some bread. And he told them, go and bring some of the fish that you have made. You have caught, and he went and seized the fish, and then now they sit together, they eat, Jesus breaks the bread, and he gives them the fish. And remember, you can see all these are Jesus' ways of reconfirming to them that he is alive. You see, there's a way that God meets people, there's a way that God speaks to people, that he will be repetitive in nature so that you don't miss him. Why is that? Because God is very concerned that you hear his voice. So if he has been speaking in a certain way, there are many times he will try to repeat the same way he speaks. And look, and as this time we can see the disciples, Simon, Peter, and his brothers, they met the Lord by the fish, by the sea, and likewise also in the resurrected state, he comes to them also by the fish, and so that where they're able to recognize, and that's why they were able to see, no, this is a repeat miracle. We have seen this before. This is not natural. This is supernatural, and this must be the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, it is the Lord. And you see, for me, what stands out is now how Jesus comes to restore Peter. And maybe for us to understand why it was necessary for him to be restored, you have to go back to Luke chapter 22, where Jesus told Peter that, Luke 22 verse 31, that he says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times. And even when you read eventually in Matthew 26, verse 69 to 75, where, you know, the slave girl starts to tell Peter, you were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them and says, I don't know what you're saying. And then another girl saw him and they said, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them, for by your speech betrays you. And this is Matthew 26:74. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. So we can clearly see that it was necessary that the Lord comes to restore Peter. Why? Because the devil had asked for him. And I can imagine how Jesus, you know, being God and being having access to heaven. And remember, the devil is called the accuser of brethren. You remember? And he, you can remember how he went and asked for Job. And God told Job, God told the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none among him on the earth who is righteous and who loves me with all his heart." And the devil was like, "Do you think he loves you because of nothing? It is because of the things that you've given him. If you take it away from him, then you will see he will curse God. He will curse you." And the Lord told him, "Okay, go ahead, touch all that he has, but don't lay a hand on the man." Now you can see in this other time, Jesus also is aware that the devil has asked for Simon. And you can imagine how, you know, at times it feels, if you really understand the heart of God and how God is, Jesus is not concerned about the sifting of Simon. In fact, he says that, "It is okay that the devil has asked to sift you as wheat, and I believe it has been granted." But beyond what the devil has been asked to do and has been granted permission to do, know this, that I have prayed for you. And this is why, remember, Jesus keeps telling his disciples, "Pray that you do not enter into temptation. Pray that you do not enter into temptation." So he told him that Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that after you have returned to me, you shall strengthen your brothers. So Jesus saw beyond the sifting, saw beyond Simon Peter cutting the ear of the, you know, the servant of the high priest. Jesus healed back that ear. Jesus also saw beyond Peter denying him three times. And he came back and he prayed for him. And that's why when we pray, we overcome challenges, we overcome traps, we overcome the works of the devil. We also overcome the trials that God has allowed to come our way to check our faith. And that is why we need to pray for ourselves, but also we need to pray for others that indeed when they go through sifting, that they shall come out stronger. And then now you see in the last time when Jesus called the disciples, that is Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John, he also told them, "Follow me." And the Bible tells us that they left everything and followed Jesus. And this time also, Jesus deals with Peter and he asks him, "Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than this fish? Do you love me more than these earthly things?" And Simon says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And he tells him, "If you love me," he tells him, "feed my lambs." The second time he asks him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he says, "Tend my lambs, tend my sheep." The first time is feed my lambs. Second one is tend my sheep. And then the third one is, do you love me more than this? And even though Peter was grieved why the Lord asks him three times, he tells him, feed my sheep. Now, you know, you will ask yourself, what is the difference this time? Last time they were being told, "Come, and I will make you fishers of men. I will teach you how to catch men." But now Jesus is changing the message, or rather is changing the call of Peter from an evangelist, from a fisher of men, to being a shepherd, to being a pastor. And that is why Peter becomes the shepherd of the church. He becomes the leader of the church. And even if you remember, as in the day of Pentecost, he's the one that stands out. He evangelizes, but then he also now leads the church and they grow the church. And even finally, even when if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, you can see how he advises the leaders. He tells them, "As a fellow elder, I ask you to take good care of the flock that God has entrusted to your care. And when the chief shepherd comes, he shall come with the reward in his hands to give each man. So he considered himself a shepherd, and he knew that there is a chief shepherd, which is Jesus. So for me, it was very interesting to see how God restores Simon, restores Peter, and he shows him that, you know what, no longer are you're beyond a fisher of men, but now you are also a shepherd. Tend my sheep, feed my lambs, and feed my sheep. Take care of the church. Take care of the church. Teach them. And also it gives him a prophecy of how he will die. Tells him that, I assure you, when you are younger, you clothed yourself, you walked where you wished to go, but when you're old, you'll stretch your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not wish. And you know, history tells us that Peter was killed in Rome, in that he was crucified in Rome. And because when he was crucified, he said, don't crucify me, upright like my Lord and Savior. I'm not worthy. I'd rather that you crucify me upside down. So he was crucified upside down. And that was the death that he was going to die. And that is why the Bible says that this he spoke, signifying by what death he will glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. The call still remains, follow me. And you can see that. So even Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. That means that we must keep following the chief shepherd. We must keep following Christ. We must keep being restored. And even though Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus restores him 3 times. And he tells him, do you love me? And the word here is phileo, which is, do you have brotherly love for me? How do you show your affection for me, Peter? It is by your obedience. Your obedience. Your obedience to God, your obedience to the calling of God is what proves your love for God. It's not really about emotions. I know at times people think, oh, it is, oh God, I love you emotionally. No, it is your obedience. Your obedience is a demonstration of your love. Your submission to God is a demonstration of your love. Think about even in the family, the submission of a wife is a demonstration of her love to her husband. The husband might not be interested in love words, but the husband will be interested in submission. Likewise also, Christ, we are his bride, is interested in our submission to him. When we yield to God, when we yield to his promptings for prayer, when we yield to his promptings for obedience, when we yield to his promptings for fasting, when we yield to his promptings for serving him and for quiet time and for doing the right thing, for giving and all these things, then we are in obedience to God, and it is a demonstration of love for God. So I'll stop there today, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this, and we can see this witness of Jesus to his disciples and to Simon and Peter and his restoration. I'll stop there, my brother. You're welcome. As God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Myers. Nothing to add from my side.
Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us in a language that we understand. That indeed you are a God of restoration. You are a God that desires that we know you. You desire that we do not miss you. That's why you repeat miracles. That is why you show your faithfulness. And that is why you are able to restore these disciples that indeed had gone back to their old ways. That you are able to bring them back on track and indeed show them that you are faithful, show them that you indeed this is what you have called them to do. And not only as it was in the beginning, there's also promotion, and we've been able to see your promotion. I pray for the people that have listened, the Lord, your hand shall be with them. May they grow in understanding, grow in truth, grow in revelation. May they experience God and the power of salvation, because indeed the gospel is the power of salvation and to salvation, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. May we experience life, may we experience grace in this new week, may we experience victory in everything that we do. We pray for your hand to go with us, watch over our families, watch over our children, and be a guide and a shield in everything that we do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.